What would you say are the advantages of gig work?
Being creative and doing something you love. This is it for me, because I'm doing it because I love it. It makes me happy.
Welcome to Voices of the Gig Economy.
My name is Anne, and I'm here with Anna, who is actually in the UK.
Hey, my name is Anna. Nice to meet you all. I'm currently living in the UK. I'm originally from Germany, but moved over a few years ago for a job. I work as a game designer, and my hobbies, let's say, yeah, well, you guessed it, I love games. So that's pretty much a very big reason for that. Other than that, I enjoy art. I love drawing. I love candles, which is the reason why I joined Etsy. And I love my pets. I have two Daegus and a chinchilla, and they are my absolute gorgeous babies.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, game design is really cool. So you have a shop on Etsy on the side, mm-hmm. Not your primary income.
No.
But do you think it's helped like your finances?
I'll be completely honest. So I haven't had the shop for too long. I think it has been 3 months now. And I think I'm now on a level that, let's say, I'm getting the investment back. Because yes, it definitely was an investment. As I said, I'm doing candles and doing the research on what works to use, what wicks to use, what containers to use, what colors, what fragrances, and so on, so on. It took a little bit of time. And obviously, you have to have a little bit of funds available to start it. So in order to afford the materials, test the materials, and then figuring out what is actually working. So it also took a while until, let's say, I got the traffic to my shop. So it started out really small. And interestingly enough, my first sale was to a stranger. I've never met this person. I didn't recognize the name. I actually sent it around to a couple of friends of mine. Which also purchased candles, but that made me really happy. And from there, it started slowly, I would say. So the first month, definitely not getting a huge bunch back. So I would say anyone who is doing something non-digital where you have to invest, you definitely need to get ready, you know, to have a little bit of money available in order to invest into your shop, to get the materials. And then hopefully, you know, you're getting some customers and they start to return that investment.
So you started during the pandemic. I know a lot of people started like open shops on Etsy. So I guess I'm wondering if it's really competitive, because there's been an increase of like 11 million buyers recently. And I think it definitely affected the amount of sellers and buyers.
Very basically, when I started to sell the candles, it was actually, I think the pandemic was, let's say, more of a secondary reason. So that was not the reason I started. I was doing it as a hobby, more or less, for a couple of years. So I was occasionally gifting them to friends and family. And they were like, you know what, you should really sell these things. But I was always like, yeah, I don't know. I don't have the time to do it. I don't want to deal with people. But eventually I did. I tried it out. Now I'm a little bit of a perfectionist myself. And when I was looking at these things, I was like, nah, I don't know. People maybe don't like them. The smell is not strong enough. The color is weird. But I did. They convinced me. And it was kind of starting from there, because yes, I said the pandemic is secondary because of the pandemic, since I'm working from home, I have a lot more free time, so I don't have to travel to the office or traveling back. So I'm doing that at home. So in the evening, I can sit down, make a bunch of candles and then sell them. And it really, really raised my spirits once I got my first reviews, because people did generally like them. I think it really depends what you are selling. I would say I'm a little bit niche, as I, let's say, I'm not doing the, okay, this is a vanilla candle, this is something which smells like chocolate. I'm doing things which are inspired by games and series, mainly Animal Crossing and Avatar. And people like that. And that makes me really happy because, again, those are my favorite franchises of all time. And just I just enjoy to share it with people. Now, when I started to sell them, yes, of course, you want to make a little bit on the side. But to be completely honest with you, that was not my primary goal. For me, I think for all of us, obviously, this year has been tough. And what kind of kept my spirits up a bit was, you know, at the end of the evening, I sit down, I light a candle up. It has this very nice orange light, which I enjoy, and the scent. And I was like, okay, I'm playing Animal Crossing now. I'm actually smelling my peach island, and this is great. And I think other people enjoyed that too. They probably had a similar idea. You know, this is when they bought the candles, and they said, oh my God, they are so nice. But what makes me the most happiest is if people enjoy them, if people come back to me and people say, you know what, you just made my day a little bit better. I did name my shop on purpose, Smile in a Jar. I'm probably not the first person to do this. There are probably other people, but this is exactly what I want. I'm selling you this little jar. And when you open it, I want you to be happy. I want you to be smiling. And this was kind of, you know, my main incentive because I thought, okay, if I really can, you know, make people's day a little bit better and they feel happy, that's actually what I want out from it. And yes, it's definitely a hobby. I want it to be a hobby because we are working. We know work is stressful. And this is kind of a little bit my stress relief when I can sit down and I'm working on these. So yes, it does help a little bit with income, but yes, the main salary just comes from my job. This is just how it is.
I think that's great because it's like a hobby, and I think people, I mean, I don't know, a lot of people are shopping online too, so it all just kind of
I can definitely sign that one. I've been doing a lot more online shopping just because I don't want to bother with it.
Are you on any similar platforms such as Amazon Handmade? Because Etsy has been pretty popular, but started out as like small. It was just a lot of handmade unique items, but I feel like it was more like with the buyers and sellers. I don't know if it still is like that now because I think it's changed a little bit. But if you have been on any other platforms, how do you think it compares?
I'm mainly selling on Etsy. To be honest, I was trying on eBay as well, but probably I wasn't as patient enough. Because also when I was on holiday, what I really like about Etsy is that you can, you know, just put your shop on holiday. I think you can do it with eBay too, but I'm not sure. It is also a little bit more annoying to set postage up on eBay. And I really didn't want to sit down and type down a list of all 200 countries of the world. That would probably take quite a while. But I would say if you really want to do it casually, eBay is a good thing because eBay definitely also has less taxes than Etsy. I mean, if you're selling on Etsy, you're looking at about 15% of what you just sold is gone. It belongs to Etsy. They just take it from you, which I think is quite high. Now, Amazon is similar, and I have been for on Amazon for a weekend. Now, this is because I signed up and you have to fill a form. And they are like, hey, you know, our experts are going to look at pictures of your items. And if they think they are really like cool or anything, we approve you. I don't think this is how it works because within an hour, I got the approval of it. Who knows? But then I started setting it up. And Etsy, yes, it does has its faults. But compared to other platforms, the interface is horrible. Of Amazon, because there is so much stuff you have to put in it. It would take me a good 10 to 20 minutes to make a single listing. And what's worse is the pictures. Because even though, you know, I'm making my photos just with my phone, which I would say is good enough. So I would take them in portrait view. And I don't know why, but Amazon would always flip my pictures. And there is no option to flip them back. So you kind of have to sit down with a weird photo snipping tool and kind of snip them in the right direction until it somehow fits. And I honestly got so annoyed. I spent a good hour on one single listing and I was like, okay, screw this, I'm out. So on the next day, I directly closed the seller account again because I don't have this time of the day to spend to snip photos. I actually did wrote them an email. I think they completely ignored it. I would assume so, but I said, you know, I don't care what you're doing, but if you want to make my life better or the life of your sellers, just, you know, make a photo rotation option, please. But yeah, that was the end of the story with Amazon. But yeah.
I can see how that's annoying. I mean, speaking of like the offsite advertising fees.
Yeah.
Have there been any shifts or changes to the work agreement since you started working? Because this February, Etsy actually announced that it would automatically advertise their sellers' products on sites like Google, Facebook, Pinterest, like all those, mm-hmm. and collect a minimum 12% fee. But yeah, I think that's pretty high. But a lot of people are unhappy because they have to compete with larger retailers actually afford to offer free shipping.
I would think what it comes down to, because I'm using ads actually, but the thing is, I'm not sure what the threshold here is, but I think it is quite high. It might be something along the lines of $5,000 to $10,000. So yes, there are definitely people who, you know, making their main income with Etsy. And there is kind of this line which says, okay, if you're making so and so much each month, we do enroll you. You can't choose. And yes, I wouldn't like this either as a seller, because if I have already my customers and I'm happy with the amount of product I'm producing, I do not need to have more people. Yes, it is maybe a little bit more money, but it is also more stress. For me, again, I'm not making huge amount of money because, you know, I have my couple of sales each month, which is great. So it doesn't affect me, but I can definitely see if you're making a living and you already have to pay taxes, and then there is a shop coming around and say, you know what, give us even more money. I mean, who does like to give money away voluntarily? That's not nice. I don't know why they did it. Who knows, maybe it's great, but yeah, I don't like it.
And I think they prioritize shops and items that offer free shipping, but I think this is US search engines. I'm not sure about the UK.
So when I started to sell on Etsy and I was going around, you know, on forums and things like this, what I did read is that Etsy is very US focused. So if you are trying to get support, you know, if you are a seller with anything, you have a hard time. Luckily, I didn't had to have contact with Etsy so far, but I also get these advertisements, which is incredibly weird because first of all, yes, I do ship to the US, but there is no chance I can offer it for free. And I'm afraid to say, postage has gotten so much expensive during this pandemic. I don't know. I have the feeling it nearly doubled around here. So when I ship to the US, and interestingly enough, I'm very surprised by this. I actually have a lot of people buying from me. They actually sell. They pay more for shipping than my candle is. Which is kind of incredible because it's not that I want to charge them, don't get me wrong, but I'm not making the prices, the post office does. And honestly, I really feel bad because I can't drop the prices for shipping anyhow. And obviously I have to get my material costs back in. And if I have people like paying me $30 for a candle, I do feel bad about that. So there is no way I can offer free shipping to the US.
I think it's been difficult because of the post office and the shipping times because of COVID. So maybe delayed packages. I know a lot of people who are selling things and like shipping, their shipping times have been terrible.
Mm-hmm. I also was moving over to, I only sell tracked. I do not sell you anything if you want to have non-tracked postage, maybe because it's a couple of bucks cheaper. Because I was lucky so far. from all the sales I made, there were only two problems so far. And luckily, in both cases, the people have been understanding. I know there are a couple of stories, especially in the US, where people get really upset. But what people need to understand, the moment I drop off the parcel, there is nothing I can do. It's with the post office. It's not that I'm carrying this thing over, you know, to your front door. So if a parcel gets lost, oh, trust me, I'm mad as well, because I now have to sit down and deal with the post office to get some sort of compensation. Because I have to print out all the stuff, I have to take photos, I have to send the documents over, and this is not pleasant to deal with. So there is no reason why I would like to lose a package, but people are, I don't know why. We have a pandemic going on, so it should be public knowledge by now, you would think. But people are a little bit oblivious to it does affect postage. It does affect that people, parcels might got missing sometimes. And I have to say it, I'm sorry, but the entitlement of people, I mean, there is a reason why I don't work retail. I possibly couldn't. This wouldn't end well.
I was actually just thinking, how do readings and buyer reviews affect your work? Because they're important to the seller, because buyers have reviews. And for a lot of gig platforms, it's difficult to, I guess, communicate issues with the customer, especially when it's out of your control or a misunderstanding, like damaged item, not your fault. So would you say that's like a very, very like crucial part, like the specifically buyer reviews and like interacting with buyers?
Definitely, especially on Etsy. Now, nobody knows how the algorithm does work exactly, but what I would say, we as sellers did figure out that there is definitely a huge part of, first of all, how large is your shop? How many sales do you have? But also the amount of reviews and good reviews. This is why people are, let's say, so terrified if they get anything less than 5 stars. So people would say, but 4 stars is great as well. You shouldn't worry about this. Yes, but every review which is less than 5 stars will a little bit drag you down in the algorithm. And since there are so many shops with so many items, it gets harder. And the problem is, and I think this is what I would definitely like least about Etsy, is again that they don't really do a lot for the sellers. So you can't, or let's say you have a very hard time to remove a review which is unfair. Because let's be honest, there are weird people out there. There are people who maybe drop your item and then complain to you and give you a 1-star review. Luckily, haven't happened to me yet, but I know it happens to people. So they give you a 1-star review, it drags down your sales. And yeah, there's nothing you can do about it. There is nothing you can do to get rid of this review. I mean, I always try to include a message and say, look, I'm a small shop. I really want you to be happy. If you have any problems, please speak to me. In most cases, people luckily do, but sometimes they don't. They just leave a review and they're like, yep, I don't care. My item was damaged. What? I don't know. Maybe use 3 boxes next time. So, you know, there isn't anything like in my little tiny jar where I think, okay, I'm selling eco candles. So you expect me to, kill 3 more trees just in order that you don't have this little bump in your tin? No, it's difficult again. And I would say first and foremost, because of Etsy, because they simply don't care. As long as you sell and you pay your taxes, they are like, oh yeah, free money. But if you have a problem, they are not there to help. And I think this is, it's not nice at all. So you have to be prepared for the trolls. And if the trolls come in, there is nothing you can do against them.
Have you ever had to contact support on the platform? Like ask Etsy for any kind of anything? And how did it go?
Luckily, not with a customer. There was an issue on my account. I'm not sure if it was a bug or anything, but pretty much when you make a sale, Etsy kind of, let's say, has this little overview where it says, okay, that those are the taxes going out. This is what goes to your bank account. And so I was making a sale, and or let's say a couple of sales. And I was wondering, okay, Etsy then said it was transferred to your bank account, but it didn't. It didn't show up. Of course, international payment might take a couple of days. So I waited 2 days, still not there. So I wrote Etsy and I got like an auto-generated email back, which is like, yeah, we are so busy, we can't deal with it. If you need more help, just contact us again. But there was no, let's say, way in terms of a link or a phone number to contact them again. So I guess if I would do, I would get the same auto-generated email. I'm not sure if they even have a support team. I was told they used to have a phone number you can call where you would get support. They got rid of it. So I'm not sure if you might be able to reach it in the US still. I think I can't. So it's a bit of a gamble. So actually you have to sit down and you have to have fingers crossed. Okay. Hopefully I don't get an issue. Please don't make me deal with Etsy.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I've heard of issues like that people have had with their shops getting closed or accounts getting suspended, like without much information. I don't know if that's definitely like accounts getting suspended and there's like no way to reach anyone. On other platforms. I don't know about Etsy, but I think I have heard about it on Etsy as well.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the subreddit is quite small. So there's one for, I would say, all things Etsy and one for sellers. But unfortunately, you read it every week. And if people contact Etsy about it, they are like, yeah, it's an error in our database. Okay, thank you. This doesn't help me. I don't know. It almost feels to me like because there are just, a multitude of shops popping up that they don't have to care because there are, still enough shops to generate sales, to pay them taxes. So they make their money, which obviously is not nice to deal with a customer because I think in this situation, we are the customers. So they help us with offering a service. But if we have a problem, we don't receive much help. And I would think if there is more pressure, I think Amazon, eBay and all these things, they are growing. They want to have these people. They want to have the traffic on their platform. But I think a big problem was that for the longest time, Etsy kind of had this monopoly of, we are the handmade shop platform, whatever. We have the people, we have the traffic. So yeah, you have to play by our rules. But in that regard, I am glad that they are getting competition because, hey, competition is always good for the market.
What would you say are the advantages of gig work?
Being creative and doing something you love. This is it for me because I'm doing it because I love it. It makes me happy. And the very, very great side effect is if you are doing something like a candle, which obviously does burn for a couple of hours, and, usually you make them in a batch because it's very cost efficient if you only make one. So usually you make a multiple at once. I could not possibly burn these things down all on my own. I think if I would just do it for myself, like with a hobby of this, I would have candles on every spare inch of my house and would try to burn them down all at the same time. Might help with the electricity bill, but probably not the nicest thing to do. So in that regards, for me, it is I'm doing something which I really enjoy. And as weird as it might sound, I can't give it away because I do enjoy the process of making them. I have a lot of fun, but there is no way I can use them up all on myself. So this is also for me personally, candles are maybe a little bit of a weird, let's say, product in that case, because you're actually happy if you give them away. With something like an artwork, I don't know, you might want to hang it on your own wall. That's completely fine. But I think if you are an artist, and you end up with, 200 paintings, there is probably also no way you can fit them all on your wall. So I would say a very big part is you can share it. Because for a lot of people, I think it is the process of creating something. You have fun working on it. You want to do it. But after a while, you end up with something which is finished. And again, if you have one or two, it's not a problem. You use them hanging on a wall. Maybe you make a vase or something and put it somewhere on a sideboard. But it usually comes to a point where you can't physically hold all of that stuff. And I think actually having people, you know, buying it and then they can enjoy it from themselves because maybe they have other interests. Maybe they don't want to sit down for a couple of hours and paint something. So I think that's, you know, that's a nice win-win situation. We can enjoy the process of crafting. We can express ourselves. And other people luckily take it off of our hands so we can make even more.
Yeah, I think that's really nice because I think there's more people on Etsy who are nowadays who are reselling like mass produced items but listing them as handmade. So I mean it's so nice at least that we still have like people who actually enjoy making handmade crafts.
Oh, definitely. And again, I love it. So that was good for because of the pandemic again, because I have much more free time. So I can entertain the idea of, you know, it's weekend, I'm just sitting down and I'm doing it. And this is also usually where I'm doing it because it does take a couple of hours, you know, to melt the wax, put everything in, make it nice and smooth, and then actually pour these things. And then they have to sit for 1 to 2 days until they're ready. But let's say after work, it's... I do other things, you know, things where there is not a business involved, anything, I don't know, maybe sit down on the couch with my Switch and have a couple of games. But things like this, I enjoy on the weekend because I also like it a little bit more doing it by daylight, if that makes sense. What I figured out what is really interesting is that obviously they looked a little bit different, like when you want to take pictures of it. And I try to make photos of candles when, I don't know, for example, I thought it was a nice idea, hey, you know, when it is burning or something, but it just looks weird. And, you know, you do it on the weekend, you make everything nice, and then you can sit down, do your taxes, you know, have your little overview of materials you have spent, and I can keep it separate. Because I also had to sign... in addition of my work contract, where it is pretty much okay. Yes, you can do it. It's your hobby. We don't care. Just do whatever the hell you want. But you don't do it during work hours. I was like, no, I don't. Which makes sense. It's a weekend thing.
Would you ever consider doing gig work full-time or being on Etsy full-time?
To be honest, and I'm being completely honest with you here. If I would want to do that, I probably have to raise my prices because, yes, again, I have a few pounds which I'm getting off of each sale, but it's not a lot by any means because most goes into material costs and packages because, again, I wanted to do it to, you know, not to get rich. That's not why I would do it. And I think if I would turn it into a business, I would need to go profit orientated. And I honestly consider myself a really, really, really lucky person because I was able to already turn one hobby into a job, which is this whole thing around game design. And luckily it does pay very well, at least for me. I'm specialized in mobile free-to-play, and there are not, let's say, as many designers yet doing that. So it does tank quite a lot. And it's not that I need Etsy as something which is reliable. But I think if I would go the step and say, okay, I'm quitting my job, first I would give up something I really, really love, even more than candles. So I would maybe probably switch over to something which I do not enjoy as much. And I know all of the things I already do not like, dealing with customers and reviews and probably Etsy, I would need to do this a lot more. And this is something I don't want. And again, it can be unsteady. I think a lot of people experienced, yeah, you might have a few more sales around holidays, but sometimes there is a week and you don't sell anything. It happens. And then there's a week, I don't know, you're selling a lot and you can't even possibly keep up with it. And you're having a hard time sitting until 12 a.m., you know, putting little jars into boxes and closing them up in anything. But I think it would bring me a lot more stress that I'm having. And again, I already have a job I really like. So I think I don't want to give it up.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's flexible, but it's maybe unreliable if it was like...
There is a saying we are having in Germany, and it kind of translates to, if you're self-employed, it means by yourself and all the time. I know it doesn't quite fit with English, but what it says obviously is, do not expect to walk out after your 8-hour job and you're done with it, because that's not how it works. You're working with people all around the globe, possibly. So yes, you do getting these messages at 3 a.m. in the morning, and you have to deal with them. And usually, if you really need this income, because you do not know what the next week might bring, you have to sit there. And you have to sit there for a good couple of hours. And I think, even though if you really love something, if you just had a 12-hour day, you don't like it, you don't want it, you just want to go quote-unquote home. And I think you cannot walk as easily away from it.
Thank you so much for being here and taking the time to talk to me. To everyone else, look up Smile in a Jar Crafts on Etsy.
But thank you so much for having me.